This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And you know, the thing about political stalemates is that they seem like nothing is going to change, and then they can end very, very quickly. And that was certainly the case in Ukraine over the past few days, as a political stalemate escalated into some of the worst violence seen in Ukraine since World War II. And then, just as it seemed as though the fiery pro-Russian president, Viktor Yanukovych, had averted his own ouster with a compromise call for new and early elections, Yanukovych was out. He is now wanted for the deaths of protesters and civilians as the government cracked down on street demonstrations in Kiev over the past week, causing dozens of fatalities. Someone who has watched it all unfold is reporter Andriy Kulikov, who has been broadcasting to the world over his improvised, largely digital network as Ukraine Public Radio. Andriy Kulikov, welcome back.
Thank you.
So when we spoke on Friday, we were just on the verge of some monumental changes. Who's running the show right now in Kiev, Andriy?
It seems that no one is quite sure who's running the show. On the surface of it, it's the opposition, the official opposition. Mr. Turchinov, one of the leaders of the major opposition party, Batkivshina, has been elected chairman of the parliament, and then he assumed the responsibilities or duties of the president, the acting president. But there are some very active groups called mostly right sector on the side of the opposition who are widely believed to be the driving force of the revolution, as many people call it here. And of course, their opponents say it's a coup d'etat. On the other hand, the activity of many, many so-called ordinary people has flared up on both sides, and those who opposed the old regime are taking arms in their hands, or at least forming some detachments that try to keep order in many, many cities throughout the Ukraine. On the other hand, in eastern and southern regions, their opponents are forming the same kind of neighborhood watch, or call it whatever you want. And I've been to the second largest Ukrainian city, Kharkiv, these past 2 days, and I witnessed clashes between those who oppose the old regime and those who are still in favor of Mr. Yanukovych, or at least against his opponents.
Describe in a little more detail for us who actually would accept the rule of this parliament by decree that's now taking place, and who absolutely considers them illegitimate and would not follow their authority whatsoever.
Quite a lot of people who think that the previous regime was corrupt to the root would welcome, and they are welcoming, any change. Although some of them are smirking and saying that we sort of exchanged tit for tat, and the new guys are actually same old guys, only from the other side of the political divide. Many people are still very satisfied that Mr. Yanukovych and his closest allies have gone for good, or at least they think that they have gone for good. They say anything or anybody is better than Yanukovych and his allies.
Well, what's the betting, Andriy? What is the betting on Yanukovych? What are his whereabouts? The likelihood he'll be brought into custody? Could he pop up anywhere else in the world and try to make a comeback here?
The latest that was seen on the internet was a photo of his yacht that was supposedly being stocked with some stuff in Balaklava in the Crimea, but this is not confirmed. Also, there's an official report about how he gathered his personal guards and told them that those who want to leave me now, and I'll go into hiding or into secret travel with the rest of you. This happened in Donetsk region, one of the eastern parts of Ukraine, which is very close to Russia, and where there are predominantly Russian-speaking population, and also which is a actually a bulwark of Mr. Yanukovych's supporters, because he's been he comes from those places. He's been a governor of this region for several years, and most of the ministers and other administrative officials were recruited by him from this region. At the moment, there's no clue about where he might be, but one of the activists published an appeal on the internet for Ukrainians to donate at least 1 hryvnia, which corresponds to something like 10 cents or 12 cents, and in this way to collect the sum of money which will be given to anyone who can catch Mr. Yanukovych. So that's on the one hand how people feel towards, and I've been told that in 2 hours they've collected something like 800,000 hryvnia, which is approximately $100,000.
Which is a tiny amount of money for someone like Yanukovych in a place where, as you say, there are probably plenty of locations where he doesn't need to wander around with a disguise. He'll be welcomed with open arms and be safe, at least for the time being. Andriy Kulikov, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Andriy Kulikov is a Public Radio Ukraine correspondent in Kiev. He's been all over the country during these momentous moments. This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Joining us now is Oleh Rybachuk, former member of the parliament before the Orange Revolution in 2006, former deputy prime minister in the former Tymoshenko government, former chief of staff. He's a civic activist now, founder of an NGO and a think tank in Ukraine. Oleh Rybachuk, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
What do you think the future of Yanukovych is at this point, and how should the U.S. and Russia approach what's happened in the past few days?
Well, Yanukovych is the first Ukrainian president who managed to get millions of Ukrainians twice when he was prime minister in 2003, and he caused Orange Revolution and nowadays. But nowadays, he is in big, big trouble. He is a criminal, and he is the first Ukrainian president who gave shooting orders to police, because right now there are documents confirming this. So now he is in hiding somewhere in Crimea. Yanukovych perfectly qualifies to the international criminal law for the crimes against humanity. And right now, last night, he was trying to hide in Crimea, in Sebastopol, the place where Russian Black Sea Fleet is situated. So Russia is very close to, well, to interference into Ukrainian affairs. Moreover, Russians has called back their ambassador yesterday, because Russian Prime Minister Medvedev is saying that life is not safe for Russian citizens. I do hope very much that the United States, which a few times acted very timely and prominently advising our army not to go against its own people and give a signal to President Yanukovych that there is no place in this world for somebody who is guilty of killing hundreds of innocent protesters.
But the confusion that you express there is precisely the confusion of someone like Secretary of State John Kerry. Who do you embrace at this point, given the divisions within Ukraine? There are some Russian-speaking places in Ukraine that probably won't be recognizing this government immediately.
Now, there is no threat like that. It's important to know that there is Donetsk is the city where Yanukovych is coming from. And this city is more than 1 million population. And you know how many protesters went into the street against ousted president? 100 people. 100 people versus millions of protesters all over the country. Yanukovych was rather artificially playing on the feelings of people. But today, when the whole nation is seeing his outrageously rich and tasteless palaces in Crimea, everywhere over Ukraine, when people see who was their leader, those people from the East see who was their leader, they are outraged. So we are not seeing any signs of country splitting. We see some parts of corrupted officials associated to Yanukovych who try to play this game, but to no success. So I can't see that the country is split and there is some local authorities refusing to recognize center decision. It's not the case.
All right, so we're speaking with Oleh Rybachok. Let's speak for a moment about Yulia Tymoshenko, who spoke before the protesters. Does she have a play here?
Sir, her appearance was led to very confused and mixed feelings, including myself. I've been working with her for a decade, probably. In short, I know her well. She left into prison 2 years ago, and she came back in very different country. But she has not changed. She has not learned. She tried to use the same political tricks. And on Maidan, she was so inappropriate that it was obvious. So I guess Ukrainians are very happy she's out of prison. But I don't think Ukrainians think their future should be tied up to politicians' type of Tymoshenko.
There's an analysis here that this is all about throwing out the old, all of the evidence of corruption on both sides in Ukraine, yeah, and bringing in a completely new breed of politicians. Can the government withstand that, a completely new, change of the guard without any continuity whatsoever?
Well, no, there will be a intermediate government, which we actually have. What we have now, we have a date of next presidential elections. This is May 25. And I am pretty sure that after that, the nation would demand new elections of parliamentarians, because now parliament consists of old party, which overnight became very progressive, very pro-European, and they are blaming only their leader, Yanukovych. People are not buying that. The whole system should be reset, and people are very, very determined to demand that. Therefore, we are having right now this transitional period, which will take a few months, but roughly in half a year, we will have the political scenery completely different, because this is what absolute majority of people is demanding. And if not for the people, politicians would again make a deal behind closed doors, as they used to do during last 22 years of independence. But now this time is gone.
All right. Oleh Rybachok, former member of parliament for the Orange Revolution, former deputy prime minister in the former Tymoshenko government, predicting a complete political reset in Ukraine. Mr. Rybachok, thanks so much.
Thank you.
We always want to hear from you. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Find us at facebook.com/thetakeaway. You're listening to The Takeaway. Back to the situation in Ukraine. All the analysts are suddenly caught off guard from the historic developments over the weekend. Was it a revolution or a coup d'etat? There's peace in Kiev after weeks of protests. But who will control things in the future? Nothing is entirely clear in Ukraine right now. Neither the whereabouts of now former President Viktor Yanukovych, nor the current allegiances in the political coalition that is running the country for the time being by parliamentary decree under Speaker of Parliament Alexander Turchinov. And what of just-released political prisoner Yulia Tymoshenko, or the fact that Ukraine needs a reported $35 billion to stay afloat? We reached out to Nikolai Petro, University of Rhode Island political science professor who is in Odessa, Ukraine, for a year on a Fulbright scholarship, and Professor Regina Smith in the political science department at Indiana University. In many ways, Smith says Ukraine is a country governed by all these very difficult questions.
I think it's very uncertain. Ukraine, the protest movement itself is very divided, the country is divided, and it's in economic shambles. So we're really in a moment of tremendous uncertainty.
Inside Ukraine, Nikolai, what is the task for whatever new government emerges here to knit this divided nation together? There's very much a strong pro-Russian region, a pro-European region, and individual factions within the opposition.
One thing they should avoid doing is dividing the country. And unfortunately, some of the first steps they've taken have been in the opposite direction of what needs to be done. I'm speaking specifically of the repeal of the law allowing Russian to be used locally, which was the main irritant in East-West relations, introducing a resolution to outlaw the Communist Party of Ukraine, which is popular in the East and the South and is really the only remaining opposition party. Right now, the parliament can do whatever it wants because it has no representatives from the major party. Most of the deputies from the East and the South are simply afraid to set foot in the parliament. So they have to really make an effort to reach out or rule by themselves, which is going to leave a lot of people upset.
Regina, are these divisions that Nikolai is speaking about something left over from the Cold War, or do they go back even before the Cold War to World War II and even before that?
Well, they really come out of the Soviet nationalities policy, where the Soviet government sort of merged or put lots of Russian populations in non-Russian parts of the Soviet Union. And so those ethnic divisions really are reflective of a Stalinist policy.
And is there a way for the Ukrainian government to in some way recompense the grievances of these people? And then, Nikolai, I want you to jump in here.
There are several ways for it. I mean, I think the most important and most pressing problem is that Ukraine's about to go into default. And so if the government can find some way to stave off default and put the country on a more positive economic footing, that might go a long way to heal sort of grievances. In terms of institutions, they can give at least some governance power to these non-Ukrainian regions, which may sort of stave off some of the separatist sentiment that could emerge.
Nikolai?
I agree that some sort of power sharing and federalism really is probably the way to go. But the problem is that the driving force of the people who arranged the situation we have right now is a nationalist government, and they are ideologically opposed to that sort of power sharing, just as they're ideologically opposed to the very idea of speaking Russian in a public forum. There were fights in the parliament last year over that very fact. I mean, physical assaults. And that's what really is so troubling in this whole scenario.
So to both of you, then, is there a possibility that Yanukovych or someone affiliated with Yanukovych could pop up in Odessa or even Paris and mobilize some sort of expatriate kind of opposition movement to confront this fledgling government?
Well, I guess I'll start. No, I think there's no need for any expats. There's plenty of people here who know what they want, in the East and the South at least, which is to just be left alone and to speak whatever language they want. And they feel that they're perfectly good Ukrainian citizens, only they don't want to be told what that means by a part of the country which has a very different history and memory of the Soviet period than they do. And so far, they haven't really organized themselves politically very effectively. Or when they have, they've chosen people like Yanukovych, who was the worst, the best of a bad lot. Something better will have to come out of local political activism.
Regina Smith, is there a future to the Yanukovych doctrine in Ukraine, if not a future for Yanukovych himself?
Well, I don't think there's any future for Yanukovych, since all his allies have abandoned him both at home and abroad. I also think that the picture is very complicated by the fact that in the South, there is a large Tatar population, which has come out and said that they endorse the changes going on right now and would probably reject any sort of movement to get closer to Russia. And as Nikolai pointed out, the blue-collar workers, the working guys in eastern Ukraine, really haven't been so radical or organized. So there are some moderating forces here. And then there's the wild card of Yulia Tymoshenko, who may be the person who can sort of unify some of these groups and also get international support.
Can Tymoshenko glue the divided regions together, Nikolai Petro?
I'm not that optimistic. As a matter of fact, walking down the street here and listening to people and their instinctive reactions to Yulia, as they call her, it's very negative. She's part of the old regime in so many ways. There's so many things that have been happening now that can be laid at her doorstep. She's a blast from the past, not a new vision.
Nikolai Petro is a professor at the University of Rhode Island in Odessa, Ukraine, for a year on a Fulbright scholarship. He wants to remind everyone that he doesn't speak for the Fulbright program. Nikolai, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And Regina Smith is associate professor of political science at Indiana University and a Russian expert there. Regina, thanks so much.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.